From riots in Los Angeles to fire raining over Gaza, from global summits to prophetic warnings, this is where headlines meet scripture. The unfiltered, uncensored truth starts now.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, with Mr. David Paxton there all the way from New York, New York. Mm-hmm. How things going? How's it going, David?
Going good. You're not to be outdone by L.A. We've had some protesters try and block ICE here, too. Yeah, the NYPD just kind of body slammed them, though, so that was...
well, now, your mayor has kind of... I'm not saying he's gone conservative or anything like that, but he hasn't fallen off the reservation like the rest of them. He seems to have a little bit of common sense now.
Yeah, well, Fetterman. He pulled a Fetterman.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. I thought you were a libtard. And it's like, well, I was, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, didn't all the Democrats turn on him or something? Because
yeah.
Yeah, I think that did it. I think that was it. He's running now as an independent, right? For mayor in there?
I think so. You know, the funniest thing is Cuomo's trying to run for mayor.
Yeah.
City.
Well,
come on.
Oh, man. Well, we'll have to wait and see how that comes out. But, all right. Well, now.
Remember the Guardian Angels?
He's running too. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Silvo or something like that.
Sliwa.
Sleewell, yeah, okay, yeah.
Sleewell, yeah, okay. And we'll all be wearing berets.
Yeah.
This is mandatory. Everyone wears a beret.
Yeah. All right, David, go ahead and pry us in here, and then we're going to get going. We got a lot to talk about.
Oh, we certainly do. Father, we see the chaos and mayhem are coming upon the earth at this time, and we know that this is just more signs of the end and are ramping up even more. So we thank you for your word that guides us through all of this. We thank you for the light that you've shed. We thank you for the blessed hope, knowing that you are returning and you are going to rule this earth, because they're just getting all whacked out. So we would ask that people would recognize that this government is not working, and that the new government of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, is coming, and they need to get on his side. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Couldn't agree with you more there. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Goodness. All right, now, obviously, we're going to touch on what happened there in L.A., and as David was saying, New York, and I understand they've got a lot of protests, or should I say riots, planned for this weekend, this next coming up weekend, so we'll get there at some point. But I want to show you everybody beyond that what we're going to look at. Again, the U.S. domestic turmoil is first, the protests, the federal action there. Then we'll talk about global diplomacy, trade, geopolitical summits, the Russian and Ukrainian war with drone battles and frontline advances, and then Middle East, the flashpoints. That's always, I think that's always going to be there, David. I think we're never going to see the end of that until we see the complete end of that. So
yeah, it ain't over till it's over.
There you go. So let's just get going here, and we'll look at this one real quick. U.S. domestic turmoil, protests, and federal action. Los Angeles anti-ICE protests escalated into violent riots across Paramount, Compton, and L.A. neighborhoods over the weekend. ICE raids triggering clashes with police, protesters hurling bricks and setting numerous vehicles on fire. Officers responded with tear gas, pepper balls, and flashbangs. Then on the 7th, President Trump dispatched 2,000 National Guard troops to quell the unrest. The standoff created a tense flashpoint ahead of midterm election season, spotlighting national immigration policy and executive power. I can also, David has got some updated information on what President Trump did yesterday, and he'll get to that in a second. But this weekend, you can expect ongoing National Guard presence in LA, and of course, federal and California leadership conflict continues with legal and political ramifications. And David, you were telling me, because I missed it, that Trump had done something Monday with the Marine Corps. What was that all about?
Yeah, apparently, and he's deploying Marines over there now. Apparently, about 700 of them, and 500 are already up there. Okay. And we've got friends that say they got there's military action they were called up for, but we can't tell you what's going on. From different branches as well.
Okay. So, well, I knew that. Yeah. I knew Hegseth. I'm sorry for interrupting you, but I knew that the Secretary of Defense, I believe it was Hegseth, said that mm-hmm. he was prepared to send in active troops into the yep. area if called upon. It sounds like they were called upon.
Yep. They probably called upon a couple days ago, and they just didn't tell us until they got there. Oh, yeah. By the way, we're going to do this, which yeah. is the correct way to do it for the military.
Right.
And if, you know, here it is, a bunch of highly testosterone filled young men with guns. Probably not a good idea to mess with them.
They're, loaded
they're not
guns.
Like ice where they're just, you yeah. know, hey, they've been tempered a bit.
Well, you know, I'm going to put this up here. It's nothing major. It's just a really, really short video. I'll let you guys see this real quick. But this is the peaceful protest.
Yeah, peaceful.
Yeah, that's about as peaceful as it gets right there, as you can see. And David, I got your title up there for some reason, but anyway. As you can see there, I mean, these are not peaceful protesters. These are rioters, and from what I understand, they're Antifa, and they're coordinated. And I'm also getting reports
that
they're being paid. Yeah, they're paid protesters. And I think we know where some of that money comes from, but, you know.
They posted it, and yeah. the Doge has kind of cut a lot of that out, but they still have some left over, so mm-hmm. they're doing what they yeah. can to try and put Doge back in.
Yeah. So let's look at the prophetic implications of this stuff.
Mm.
You look at 2 Thessalonians 2:7-12. That speaks about a coming lawlessness that will precede the rise of the Antichrist. So if you look at Matthew 24:7, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. The Greek word ethnos, David can...
Yeah, it's ethnos.
Okay, mm-hmm. I was fixing to say, David can pronounce it correctly. Anyway, that implies the ethnic and civil strife, which is clearly mirrored in U.S. urban unrest. And the use of military force.
That's where we got our name ethnic from, is ethnos. It's,
yeah.
It's a
gotcha.
People group.
Okay.
Not necessarily
okay.
Separate nations, mm-hmm. but obviously, you know, in the old days it was separate nations, but it
yeah.
it literally means ethnic groups.
Okay. And that's coming to fruition for sure. The mm-hmm. use of military force domestically indicates a breakdown of lawful order. And that's another one of those birth pains that we keep talking about. In front of the coming tribulation. Look at Revelation 13:16-17, which shows a time when dissent is crushed under authoritarian rule. These events mm-hmm. may foreshadow the infrastructure of control being tested or normalized. What do you got to say about all that?
Well, 13, that's where the mark is, mark of the beast is implemented.
Okay.
So that's what they're talking about there. And I mean, we can see that. That's like hyper. You heard of Planeteer, right?
Planeteer. Explain it.
And that's a company that basically uses a hyper AI system to keep track of everybody's records. All
oh,
together.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And, yeah. I have heard of that. I didn't know what the term was or what that.
Yeah,
name was.
That's the name of the company.
Okay.
And they've skyrocketed over the last couple of months, so you know there's some insider buying there, because the great big beautiful bill is supplying money for that,
yeah.
which you know, Trump doesn't fit the bill for the Antichrist, but he's certainly building some of the tools necessary
yeah.
for him.
The infrastructure is being constructed. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, infrastructure. Yeah. That's a good word.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And again, tools are tools, and it just depends on what you use it for. But the tools are going to be there that weren't there even just 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, even and then 10 years ago, we were saying, oh, look at all these tools that are here. But they're now, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, I wonder how this is going to. Well, now you know how that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as a kid, looking at, you know, I was thinking, you know, how in the world would anybody ever be able to reach everybody in the world, you know, with information? Mm-hmm. Because when I was a kid, David, I assume you too, there was no internet. Nope. There wasn't a way that that happened.
And it wasn't cell phones yet.
Yeah, the first concert I ever saw, and this really dates me, by the way, but anyway, the first concert I ever saw that was outside of the United States of America, outside the lower 48 that everybody mm-hmm. got, was Elvis. He did this live Ooh. Concert from Hawaii. And, you know, everybody watched it because of the fact, not because it was Elvis necessarily, but because it was something new and different. You know, nobody had ever done that before.
Yeah. Like the whole world could see it at once. Look, right. The Antichrist is here.
Yeah.
A little bit more.
So, you know, I mean, I never equated it with the Antichrist thing, but, you know, I was, and even then I said, you know, well, I mean, that's a production. That's not something that they can do over and over and over again. Well, you know, that again, that's pre-internet. Now, mm-hmm. you can put anything together any way you want to, it appears like, you know, using the internet. And David and I have kind of embraced AI for good purposes. And so far, anyway, David, you can speak mm-hmm. for yourself here, but so far we've been able to get out of it what we need to get out of it without crossing the line. Even though there's a lot of our friends even that freak out when every time we say AI, they go, oh, scary.
Well, they did that with the internet too when it first came out. Remember when Al Gore first invented the internet? that's what everyone said. Oh, I can't believe it. You could just dial in. Remember the AOL?
Do I ever? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they would dial in and they're like, oh, this is it. This is the mark of the beast. Now all your church services are online too.
Right.
Again, it's they're all just tools.
Yeah.
All the tools they're neither inherently good or evil. Okay, they're just tools.
Mm-hmm.
It's the person behind it that's going to use it for good or evil. That right. being said, this is a really good tool, so it's going to use it.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
We're not afraid of it. I used to be. David got through to me. It took him a couple of minutes, but he got through to me. All right, before we move on to the next subject, really, really quick, if you guys want to help us and support the show, please go to www.lastchristian.net. That's lastchristian.net. And you can donate to us and keep this free for everybody. It really does help us, and it helps things move all over the world. We are in over 160 countries, and, of course, all in the United States. And then, if you instead of giving to us, if you like, you can shop with a purpose. This is stuff that you're going to buy anyway. It's another great way to support the ministry. You'll find on the site links to the Conservative Store, to Everyday Dose Coffee, and also to Christian Book. And these are three affiliates of ours that we are proud to have join us. And so if you guys want to help us, that's a good way to do it. And you're not going to spend any extra money because, as I said, you're going to be buying this stuff anyway. All right, David, let's move on to the next one here. And we're going to take a look at global diplomacy, trade, and geopolitical summits. On Monday, senior U.S. officials, that's Treasury, Commerce, and Trade, met with Chinese counterparts in London to ease friction from the May 12th 90-day tariff truce. You know, they're trying to, I guess, make nice over what Trump is doing. But, you know, he plays his own game, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, you know what happened is China made a deal and then instantly didn't do it.
Right, exactly, yeah. So you got tensions over the rare earth minerals, the chip design software, and export controls remain central in this stuff. Also, the G7 meets this week. How do you say that? Canisacs, Canada or something? Anyway, yeah, it marks the G7's 50th anniversary with leaders addressing the Ukraine war, tariff tensions, and climate policy. U.S. CPI data will influence the Federal Reserve's next rate decision. And why it matters, global markets are closely watching. Successful talks could ease tariff pressures and stabilize inflation. Inflation has been stabilized, by the way. Or a failure could reignite tensions. And I'm just going to go ahead and roll over here to the prophetic implications. Mm-hmm. In Daniel 7 and Revelation 17 describe a final beast system of global governance with 10 kings or powers. And this symmetry may show increasing alignment toward that. The push for digital economies, global tax enforcement, and climate regulations reflects moves towards centralized, supranational control, key to Revelation 13's beast system. Then you've got China's rise and its alignment with Russia and Iran echoes the geopolitical makeup seen in Ezekiel 38 and 39 and Revelation 16, 12, the kings of the East. Trade dependencies may be a prophetic vulnerability, especially if tied to economic coercion or collapse. That's Revelation 18, 11 through 13. And David, you can comment on any or all of that.
Any and all the above.
Right.
What do you want? I got them all. What do you want to go for?
Go wherever you want to with that one, because it's, you know, that's all kind of above my pay grade, to be honest with you.
Okay. So as far as the Lord is leading me in this direction, we see famines and we see all these different things in the poverty and all of that. Mm-hmm. When you see the prophecies in there, it clearly says these are all man-made devices that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as example, the black horse, you know, that's man-made. It starts with the white horse because he's going to conquer by this lie of peace. He's going to make the promise. That's what the bow is.
Okay.
He's going to make the promise of peace.
Before you go on, up there in the top right hand of the corner,
there he is.
That's on the white horse, and you're talking about a bow. And in this particular picture, I noticed it when I created it today. He's got a bow and arrow, and you're saying that's not it.
No. Okay. That's one of the mistakes with the four horses. It says it comes with a bow, and then people all just automatically think it's a weapon. No. What was the first bow mentioned in the Bible?
Rainbow.
Yeah, the rainbow. Exactly, which was a promise from God, okay, for, hey, this is where I'm not going to destroy the earth by this flood ever again. Mm-hmm. It'll be by fire, but not by flood. So here he comes on a white horse, so it's the Antichrist. He's pretending to be Christ, and he comes with the bow of a promise of peace.
Yeah.
Okay, that's why there's no arrows. All right, the word is the same word that's used for rainbow in the Septuagint, by the way.
Okay. Okay.
So he's going to come with this false promise. Okay, so again, it's a false peace devised by a being, right? And then you're going to see all the famines. They're not going to be because of natural things that are going on. It's going to be because people are controlling it, all right? Mm. Partly because of, you know, all this spraying that they're doing on the top of us. They're trying to kill it. Partly because, I mean, even now, I know farmers personally that they pay not to produce any crops.
Oh,
because this way, you know, they don't want the price to come down on, and then they're trading. It's all about the trading. Okay. Oh, if you produce too many crops, and you know our stocks are going to go way down. Okay, it's all man-made stuff, and then you know with the black horse, it's not a set of scales; it's a yoke that they put on the people. Look up the word in the Greek. It says King James came out with, oh, he has a set of scales. No, everywhere else that word is used, it's a yoke. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. So he puts a yoke on men that they have to work all day long, and that's the system we're in now.
Yeah.
Because they're gonna take your tax money out, and they're gonna do this, and they're gonna do that, and they're gonna make it really hard. Everyone literally has to work hard all day, so they can't spend the time seeking the Lord and then, you know, fighting for righteousness. You look back in the 50s, one guy with an average job could support the family, and the mom could stay home and raise all the kids, and they buy a house and a car, and everything was great. Mm-hmm. Now everyone's just struggling, and that's what the yoke is. Everything is man-made. The whole collapse of society is man-made, and that's the main crux of all the prophecies.
Okay. Do you think this is tied into all this digital currency?
I mean, that's the best way to do it.
I am terrified of Bitcoin. Okay, this is one thing I'm not in it. Okay, and the reason I'm not in it is because, I mean, where does it come from? What's it based on? I don't understand. Mm-mm. You know, that's it. I mean, it's like okay, it can be $2,000 today, but tomorrow they say, okay, we're done with it, and it's over. You know, I mean, exactly. I'm terrified of Bitcoin. You're not going to see me investing in it. I can see where that would be a big tool that the Antichrist could use in the future is, you know, move all the currencies to this Bitcoin. I mean, even the United States government now is buying this crap, right? So
They have I think $2 billion worth so far.
So the Antichrist has got all this stuff, and he says, okay, I control all the currency now. I got all the digital, you know, all the stuff, and either you're going to do what I say, or boom, you're done. It's over. You know, and what are you going to do? You're screwed. You know, so I'm terrified of Bitcoin.
And all of a sudden, your phone doesn't work, and now what? Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, here's the thing. And I'm going to, I have this in my lineup of books as well, along with the Four Horsemen, and they're properly, looked at, like the scales and whatnot. Most people don't even realize what they all say it's, the number of the beast is 666.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, it isn't. The number of the beast is 666.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's the number of the beast.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's a hexadecimal system, and that's what they used in ancient Babylon for all of their mathematical equations and for keeping time. I mean, that's why we have 60 minutes on a clock. That's why we have 360 degrees, and because it's a much more efficient system. And what's going to happen is they're going to move all this digital stuff to make it even more powerful. They're going to move it to a hexadecimal system.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well. And it's just going to be better. So that's what he says. But we didn't had any idea about that before.
Yeah.
You know, who knew before?
Yeah.
But you get a six base system. It's divisible by 2 and by 3 and by 5 and 12, and it's divisible by a lot more than a 10 base system.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, now the last thing I want to discuss on this particular one here is China's rise and its alignments. From everything I'm getting, China and Russia are becoming really close, and this has not always been the case. In fact, it's been the exact opposite for forever, basically. And now they're becoming really close, but at the same time, they're becoming really close with Iran and also North Korea and Turkey. Who am I leaving out?
Egypt,
yeah. I mean, they're all coming together, and that's Ezekiel 38:39 right there.
Yep.
And, you know, you got Isaiah 17 is really coming into play because Israel keeps sending jets over the top of Damascus almost on a daily basis, and they're pounding away on this new Syrian government that is supposed to be so moderate and all that. they're going after who are they called, the Druze, I believe, that are in Syria,
something like that. Yeah, they all got their weird names. They're all like descendants of Abraham and a bunch of different groups.
Yeah, and Israel is protecting them, and Syria wants them dead, and so there's a conflict there, obviously. And Israel's saying, we're going to protect them. And Syria's saying, get out of our country. Get out of our country, but we want you to be our friend while we kill the Druze, you know.
Get out of here, but be my friend. But bring me sandwiches.
I mean, so how is this all going to work out? Do you see this coalition strengthening, David? Do you think it's coming together more and more?
Well, we'll go back to the original thing. Where, like in Enoch, we see three different, you know, races of giants all vying for power, but we lump them all in together. Hey, they're the bad guys, they're the giants. But you got to remember they hate each other as well.
Yeah.
So you're going to have these wars and these rumors of wars, and you're going to have each of the bad guys vying for power, mm-hmm. and they all think they're going to be the one that beats Jesus, but he's the Most High God, mm-hmm. and he's the King of all kings. So it's never going to happen, but that's what they're going to try for.
Okay. Now, the last thing I want to cover, and it wasn't really even on the schedule here, but it's something that I noticed in the news, and I really should have made up something for it, is the fact that we are seeing a tremendous number of earthquakes. And these are happening regularly. I mean, like mm-hmm. every day now. Every day. Not, you're not looking at weeks apart or months apart or even years apart. We're talking every day that there's at least one earthquake that's over 6 on the Richter scale. And
hundreds of them. But I think even more telling is now they're centering on calderas.
On what?
Calderas.
Oh, the big ones.
Where it's like, a quarter of the United States, Yellowstone Park.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah, the super volcano.
That's starting to go. Excuse me, I got a burp here.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's due anyway. They've been telling us for the last 400 years it's due.
Yeah.
And here we go. Mm-hmm. It's ready, folks. I wouldn't be worried about Bitcoin or the earthquakes or any of this stuff because Jesus is going to take us home for dinner.
Yeah, I think I am convinced that we are at that time. Mm-hmm. So why don't you take the last minute and a half here and just let people know why they need to accept Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, and then in the second half of the show, we'll get into the rest of the news stuff.
Well, this is why. I mean, even the breaking news. Now, Israel is like, they say, okay, we are ready to strike Iran. We got all our ducks in a row. Mm-hmm. So that could literally be just a press of a button right now.
Absolutely.
But you got to remember, that's not because of the Jews, it's because it's God's land, so mm-hmm. he'll just make that happen, and he'll use whoever he needs to use to protect Jerusalem, essentially. Mm-hmm. Kind of the safest place on the planet.
Yeah.
But that being said, you really want to be on this end. You don't want to be one of the tribulation saints or even a Jew that goes through the tribulation and winds up saved on the other end, although we appreciate them. But you're here, you have the opportunity now to become part of the bride of Christ, as it's known. And that is those who receive Christ before he comes back can go and be part of the bride and rule and reign with him in the heavenlies during the tribulation. And then after that, the millennium, and then into the new heavens and the new earth. And it's real simple. You're a sinner. He came down and he loved you so much. He paid for it. All right, he wrote it all out in a contract. We represent that in his blood. And once you truly receive that, then you can come to dinner with us. But in the meantime, we'll see you guys in the second half.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net. In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmers market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Looking for a simple way to support the Last Christian Radio Show without spending a single extra dime? Just visit www.lastchristian.net and check out our trusted partners, the Conservative Store, where your values match your purchases. Everyday Dose Coffee for better energy, sharper focus, and gut-friendly ingredients. Christian Book, your source for Bibles, devotionals, and faith-based gifts. Whether you're grabbing your morning coffee, shopping for patriotic gear, or adding to your Christian library, you're not just buying great products. You're helping us spread the gospel worldwide. And here's the best part. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Why not shop with a purpose and support a ministry that's boldly sharing God's truth? Visit www.lastchristian.net today and click the links that make a difference.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there in New York. And, David, we'll get right back into this real quick here and go to our next segment. And it is about the Ukraine and Russia war. You got drone battles and frontline advances. Now, over this past weekend, Ukraine launched drone attacks targeting Russian bombers, and that was escalating the cross-border pressure. Meanwhile, Russia claims continued advances, including pushing near Donetsk and intensifying missile and drone barrages into the Ukraine. By the way, on Monday, they launched their biggest one ever into the Ukraine. So you've got diplomatic strings pulled tighter with the Western leaders deliberating over more military aid in parallel with the G7 as Kyiv presses for air defense and artillery enforcements. So this week, you want to watch for new U.S. or Euro military cost share pledges during the G7 and Russia's continued use of drone warfare, raising transnational security alarms. I'll let you go ahead and comment on this one, David, because President Trump, it was either Sunday or Monday, said he was at the point now where he's like, okay, let's just let them fight for a while, you know. And he, there was 20,000 drones, I believe it was. Anyway, it's 20,000 or something. Maybe it was missiles that the United States had promised to Ukraine. He redirected them to the U.S. troops stationed overseas. Uh-oh. And took those away from Zelensky. So, in other words, he is truly going to let the two countries figure it out for themselves or fight it out for themselves. And, you know, it's really no danger to Zelensky because he seems to never be in the Ukraine anyway. He's always in some other country with his hand out. But to the people in the Ukraine, it's going to matter because, you know, if you go with what Ukraine's got up against what Russia's got, Ukraine doesn't have a chance without the United States support. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's right to let him go. He gave both of them every opportunity. Mm-hmm. To say, okay, I want to make a deal, and neither one of them wants to back down. So I just remember all through grammar school and high school, that's what happened. You get two kids, it wouldn't stop, and then you say, okay, what we're going to do is when school's over, you two, you're going to go in a yard and you're going to beat the hell out of each other.
Right.
Until one of you gives up and then you'll be friends.
Right.
The problem at this, I mean, that's a good solution, but the problem is you're going to wind up killing people over it.
Right. Yeah.
That's the real issue. But if you can't stop it, essentially it's not our war. And although we want to try and save people's lives, if they're not going to listen, what can we do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Trump gave them every, like you said, he gave them every chance in the world, you know, and he's criticized, I think he's criticized both Russia and the Ukraine equally. I don't think he's picked a side in this thing. But he's saying, okay, you know, let's all come together. He's offered to go and actually participate in peace talks as long as Zelensky will show up and Putin will show up. He doesn't want to be the only world leader there. You know, I mean, what good is that?
And Putin wants to show his strength by, you know, he's the toughest guy in the world. And Zelensky's just being paid to say whatever he says. And so they just, okay, go over here and say this. Here's money and we won't kill your family.
Yeah. Well, I think Zelensky is going to destroy his own country. You know,
well, yeah, they're going to force him to destroy it. He's a puppet, 100%.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there. Either that or he has a very strong mental illness and not understanding that he's up against a superpower that is not going to give up. And the thing is that without notifying the United States, and Trump came out and made a statement. He said, I was not notified in advance. Zelensky went inside Russia, deep inside Russia, with attack drones, and he took out a bunch of their I don't know what their big plane is called, but you know, it's the equivalent of one of our B-52s. Okay, he took out a bunch of them, and so people in Russia are equating that, rightfully so, in my opinion, and this one is strictly my opinion, but. People in Russia are equating that as the same as the attack on Pearl Harbor. It came without any advance notice. It was a surprise attack, and it took out, you know, planes that were basically lined up, just like our ships were lined up in Pearl Harbor, right? But, you know, deep inside Russia. Now, what if, let's go back to 1943, whenever that was. What if Japan had hit a whole bunch of ships off of the San Diego coastline or something like that? I mean, that would have been considered inside the United States. Now, I mean, they got what they got anyway, but do you think we would have fought even harder if that had happened?
The question becomes, why didn't they? I think it is a number of reasons. Obviously, Hawaii is a lot closer. But then, you know, it's not, Hawaii wasn't a state at that point.
Right.
So it was an attack on the homeland, if you would.
Right.
Whereas now it would be.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there's a lot of reasons that they didn't. But I think the response would have been the same. I think it was contrived, just like 9/11 and everything else, in order to bring about war so they can continue to sell war products. You know, and that's what Annie was all about. Daddy Warbucks.
Well, you know, there was a lot of debate, even into my childhood, because, I mean, you know, you look at it, I mean, obviously, when I'm coming up in the 60s and 70s, I'm thinking World War II was a long time ago, but then, you know, whenever you put it together, it really wasn't that long ago. You know, I don't know, David, I forgot. I've lost my train of thought. Happens to me quite often.
Don't worry, we're going home soon. That's what it is, though. All of this. There's wars and rumors of wars again because of the prophecies. They're all contrived. They're all done.
I know what I was going to say. That there was a rumor out there that Roosevelt had a heads up, and he left the ship there anyway. Now, of course, that's been, you know, the government has always said, no, that didn't happen.
Of course they did. But, of course they deny it.
You know, I don't know if they did or not. You know, I'll just leave it there. Anyway, let's look at this one real quick, David, and then you can comment. But the prophetic implications, the prophetic implications of this Russia-Ukraine thing, it's got Ezekiel 38 and 39 all over it, the war of Gog and Magog with Russia, leading a coalition against Israel. The growing military cooperation between Russia, Iran, and potentially Turkey suggests this alignment is nearly complete. And then you've got the wars and rumors of war spoken of in Matthew 24:6, continuing to dominate the global stage, validating Jesus' warnings. The use of AI and drone warfare could be a foreshadow of the supernatural or hybridized I guess, forces mentioned in Revelation 9 where technology and demonic activity are intertwined. I'll go ahead and let you finish your thought there, and then you can comment on that as well.
All of them are contrived. You know, they fight because they make a lot of money on them. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, when I was teaching, stock market trends and teach people how to read the charts, that happened like just before. It was in the year 2000. It was March 21st of 2000. There was every single indicator went up and over the top. All of their different ones, all simultaneously on that same day.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And I was like, okay, this is the top. And everyone was saying, oh, no, you're crazy. This is a new plateau and, all this other nonsense. I said, nope, that's a top. You're going to see a major correction. I said, Dow's going way down here because it just reached a new high. And gold's going to go through the roof. I told everyone gold would go over $1,000 back then when it was about 300. Uh-huh. And they laughed to scorn. I said, then we're going to have a contrived catastrophe because that's going to drive the markets after the crash, and then a war. And that's exactly what we had. I was like, it's all pattern. The pattern has been here for millennia.
Well, you're right about that.
Bible tells us about it.
You look at patterns, and the only way that we came out of the Great Depression was because we had World War II. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the only way it happened. Otherwise, we'd still be in it. I don't know if the country would have survived at all.
It's all contrived.
Whenever you can put everybody to work at the same time, you've got a common enemy. Everybody's in it.
And then the politicians, they don't necessarily want to be in power because they make most of their money when they say, if you get us into power, we'll make changes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So donate.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's both parties.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. But I don't know what's going to happen with the market right now. I mean, it's been going up and down. It seems to be all balanced.
It's going to do the same thing it always does. Three steps forward, two steps back.
Yeah. It's all about the tariffs, right? Isn't that the...
The latest and greatest news. It's always some kind of contrived news as well. And again, their patterns. I think we're at the end of a currency pattern too for the fiat currency. Mm. So we're either going to move, directly into all of the fiat, crypto stuff. Mm-hmm. But then you have a problem if we got EMPs. So then it could all reset back to silver and gold again.
Okay. Well, let's look at the next one here, which is environmental and Middle East flashpoints. The World Environmental Day was June the 5th, celebrated under the theme of Beat Plastic Pollution. That spotlighted innovations from Korea. And I've seen those, and it's really cool, actually. They're new plastic bags that when they hit seawater, they begin to immediately disintegrate. And then they become a soil within a week or two. It's really cool.
It's like they make cornstarch packing peanuts.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Just looking at that. Anyway, I hate to admit it, but I will. I'm not an environmentalist kind of person. I don't do recycling and all that.
Yeah, and it's common sense too.
Yeah. Now, in the Middle East, the fighting does persist. You've got Israeli airstrikes in Gaza, killed around 55 people over the weekend amid the ongoing hostage crisis. These events focus attention on UN meetings at the G7 dialogue regarding ceasefire. And then coming this week, you got the UN and the EU pushing emergency aid initiatives into Gaza. And then that environmental summit outcome may shape new global policy frameworks ahead of the COP meetings. You got any comments on this one, David? I mean, like I said, environment, I'm not a really big environment guy. Reason is... and I know there's a bunch of people out there that are really into environment and they're really into recycling and all that. And, praise you. Thank you very much for all your efforts and all that stuff. But the reason I don't do it is because God says that he's the one that controls when the earth is going to die. So I don't have to worry about that. So if you take that worry out of it and God's going to handle it, then why should I worry about it? I've got other things I can concentrate on. You know, that's how I get it.
There's a few vantage points for this. I mean, we don't want to do it on purpose, you know, take gasoline and pour it all over your lawn.
Right.
There's common sense stuff you can do about it. But then there are those who are purposely destroying the earth with chemtrails and yada, 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 all sorts of other stuff that are going on. Like Monsanto is trying to destroy all the DNA so they can control the plants. And let's see if YouTube likes that one. All these different things are just part and parcel with the end times. But I really wanted to make a very, very big point about this. You know, we talk about that, and it's just a number thrown out on our screen. It said, oh, there was 55 people, you know, died over the weekend in this strike.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But, you know, stop and think about that. That's 55 people, and then obviously people all over the world. But their lives just ended, and they're not talking about the news anymore.
No.
They're not worried about what's happening in Russia anymore.
Mm-mm.
They're not worried about whether the cryptocurrency is going to be in, okay? They're not worried about Trump, and they're not yelling at Trump, or they're not loving on Trump, okay? One thing they're concerned about, they're dead, and... Mm-hmm. Did I give my life to Jesus?
Amen.
Or am I going to hell?
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, you're going to be a number on the screen. Hey, 1,000 people were killed when an airplane landed in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a number on a screen. And that point, I'm with Jesus. It's irrelevant what the news says. It's irrelevant about the building that I'm in. It's irrelevant about how that's going to affect the city going forward. It's completely irrelevant. And that's going to happen with every last person on the planet, including you.
Yes.
So that's what we need to be concerned about, that you're not just that number on a screen, but that you are a child of the King. Because even John says, you know, what manner of love the Father has given unto us that we should be called the sons of God. So when he does fix everything and come back, you have the legal right to join him.
Amen.
And then you're not going to have to worry about all this news and everything anymore.
Yeah.
All right. That's what all this news is about, to point you in that direction. Hey,
amen.
This is all going to come to a crashing end.
Right. I agree with everything you just said. I mean, 100%. Let's look now at this. The prophetic implications here of the Gaza conflict, the environmental mandates, digital controls, all that stuff, okay? And you got Zechariah 12, 2 and 3, says that Jerusalem becomes a cup of trembling for the nations. Ongoing Gaza violence proves that the world's obsession is dividing and controlling Jerusalem. Just that one little speck on a map, so small, yet the whole world is interested in it, you know, and we'll explain why here. Isaiah 17, the destruction of Damascus, it may be imminent if Syria continues to be used as a proxy front by Iran and Russia. And then you got the global environmental agenda increasingly excludes biblical morality and frames Christian belief as a threat to climate unity, which mirrors Revelation 13's persecution of the saints and forced global conformity. And then, here we go, David, the digital currency pilot programs, surveillance, AI, and climate-based travel restrictions show how Revelation 13:17, no buying or selling without the mark, could be technologically implemented even now. What do you think
even
of that?
Now. Well, the mark comes into being halfway through the tribulation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So and we've got gone. A minimum of 3.5 years to work on it. So I would say we are smack up against that.
Mm-hmm.
If we are raptured today, they got 3.5 years to put it in. That's plenty of time.
Yeah, it is. There's renewed interest in Israel over the Temple Mount. And, you know, we're going to have to do a show one of these days because David and I both agree that where they think the temple was is not where the temple was.
Mm-hmm. pretty much I bet $42.7 on that.
So. Yeah, I mean, I'll bet all my Bitcoin on it. Okay,
all your Bitcoin,
all of it, every bit of it. I'm all in that that the temple is not where they think it is. But do you believe? And this is open question here. I don't know if you've even got an answer for this. But do you think that they're going to build the temple where they think it is or where it actually was? Or do you have any idea?
No, I can pretty much guarantee, I would also bet another $47 that that the Israeli government knows where the original one is.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And that, you know, that they're way ahead of us on this game, trust me. Okay. But clearly, when John in Revelation is told to measure the temple, he says, leave out the court of the Gentiles because they're going to trample it for 36 months.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's a big indicator right
42
there.
42 months, yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah. they're going to leave that out. And that's the court of the Gentiles. He says, okay, just don't worry about that. Just build around it.
Okay. Well, now, one thing I had heard, or there was a lot of news reports on it at the time, that they were about to do, I think Mondo said don't use sacrifice, but they were going to do something, you know, a sacrificial something or other that would dedicate the temple, or at least the construction of the temple. They were all primed and ready to do that, and they had the government agreeing with them that, okay, you can do that. And then all of a sudden, October 7th hit. And that, you know, all bets were off, shut it down, let's wait. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, they want to get it done, but it's got to be on God's timing. And he has a tendency of doing that. I mean, look at the Last Supper. All the Jews are like, we can't do this now. There's like a million people here, and they're going to be all upset if we do it on the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus gets up and says, well, Judas, I know what you're going to do, so go do it now. And he's like, oh.
Yeah.
So he runs out and he's like, they caught me.
Yeah.
And so we know the story. He brings him to the garden. He gives him the Judas kiss.
Yeah.
Peter cuts an ear off. Love that guy.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, the rest is history. But it was according to Jesus' timing, he made it because they didn't want to do it that day. But
he forced it
that night.
Yeah, and he was, he had to die before something happened. I forget, maybe before the sun went down or something.
Well, he died exactly, precisely at the same timing as the Passover when they were slaughtering the lambs.
Okay.
That's when he died.
Okay.
And so it was, that's why they had to do it.
Yeah. Now, another question I got, and I don't know, I don't have an answer, was
answer.
When they had the Last Supper, okay, and Jesus made an announcement, I'm assuming, from my reading of the Bible, all the disciples heard this, that one of you is going to betray me, and they all started talking at each other.
Is it me?
So...
Well, what I meant is all of you are, but one of them's going to be really bad.
Yeah, so, you know, so at that point, Jesus turns to Judas and basically says, like you did, okay, you know what you got to do, go do it. And so nobody heard this? Or is there something else in another reference in other books somewhere that says how they all went deaf or something? What's going on there?
They heard it, but... Judas knew what it meant because he knew he was, you know, what his plans were.
Okay, and they thought he was going to go buy something. That's the way I was
and they're right. Like, oh, he must be getting, you know, some Kit Kats to hand out in the corner and evangelize.
Yeah, okay. That's what I always thought. They equated it with him buying something for the group.
Yeah, and they couldn't fathom that because he was the treasurer, you know? Mm-hmm. So he's like, okay, well, yeah, he's the treasurer. He's got the money. He's going to do something. Jesus told him to, you know, to get some more stuff for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, Judas knew exactly what he was talking about and ran away with the money.
Yeah. And lost it all.
So it just shows you Jesus had plenty of money because Judas took most of it and he still had way too much.
Okay, so, let's look here at this one, David.
They didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Final summary of the prophecy in motion here. We are watching the stage being set, not the final act. Yet every riot, summit, missile, and mandate brings the world closer to the conditions described in Daniel, Revelation, and Ezekiel. The rise of global governance, civil unrest, international war, and hatred toward Israel and God's people all scream that the church age is closing and the tribulation era is approaching rapidly. As Jesus said in Luke 21:28, when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift your heads because your redemption is growing near. And, you know, I'm seeing it all take place right now. And
well, remember, Luke 21 is talking to the Jews.
Right.
And the redemption is drawing near because they're going to be redeemed. We are already raptured. It's, you know, it's a different term. We're actually snatched out.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're going to be redeemed. And what they're what's going to happen is we're going to see all the precursors to all these things. But they're actually going to see all the wars.
Yeah.
They're actually going to see the four horsemen. They're actually going to see the implementation of the mark of the beast. They're going to see all these things. And that's when he says, okay, now your redemption's getting close. In other words, Jesus is getting ready to come back. And when the, all of the nations that are fighting each other gather in Har-Megiddo or Armageddon, then they're there to fight each other. And then Jesus comes back in the sky. We're following them. Read it. You know, we got we got our white robes. It's really nice. We're following him, and then they all turn and try and fight him as if they're gonna beat him.
Yeah, and good luck with that. Yeah, yeah. We come unscathed through this. You're not going to be able to defeat a glorified body. You can beat one of these human bodies to death, obviously, but a glorified body. Good luck with that. It's just not. It's not going to happen. So that all brings us to what I always like to end the show with, and that's what to do now if you have yet to receive the gift of salvation. It's just the ABCs here. You admit you're a sinner, you tell God that you know you've sinned, and you ask him for his forgiveness. Then you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died on the cross and rose again as full payment for your sins, and David can tell you a little bit about that, and you confess with your mouth that you believe in him. Let him come into you and accept him as your Lord and Savior. Now, if you pray a prayer like that and you'd like to let it be known to the world, just take a moment to email us. You can email office@lastchristian.net. We'd love to celebrate your salvation with you. We'll also provide you with a link where you'll be able to study the Bible in easy-to-understand language as our free gift to you as you begin your journey as a new creation, as is written in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And David, I'm going to let you finish it off there by letting people know a little bit about the contract, because that's that B element there. Go ahead.
Well, it's all of it, actually. If you're going to any court, you know, if you want to get adjudicated and you want to get your payment basically executed, you have to admit. Remember the pardons? They pardoned everybody?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, no one knows that. Well, most people don't know this. But to be pardoned, you actually have to admit to the crime, or there's nothing to pardon you of. And it's the same thing here. If you don't admit you're a sinner, then Jesus can't forgive you. What is he forgiven you of? But then you're going to go before the throne and Satan's going to prove you're a sinner anyway, and then you got to pay for it. So you need to admit it, and you have to trust the contract that Jesus gave to you, okay? So you have to believe in your heart, okay? Because it's a written contract. If you don't believe it, how are you going to bring it before the judge and say, hey, look, I'm going to plead the blood of Jesus. This makes me righteous. I'm going to come home with you. All right. And then you have to confess it. If you don't go to the court and say, I trust you, Lord, and I receive this, there's no contract. So if you do all of that, you can come with us. And Lord willing, we'll see you on the next show.
Looking for a simple way to support the Last Christian Radio Show without spending a single extra dime? Just visit www.lastchristian.net and check out our trusted partners, the Conservative Store, where your values match your purchases. Everyday Dose Coffee, for better energy, sharper focus, and gut-friendly ingredients. Christian Book, your source for Bibles, devotionals, and faith-based gifts. Whether you're grabbing your morning coffee, shopping for patriotic gear, or adding to your Christian library, you're not just buying great products. You're helping us spread the gospel worldwide. And here's the best part. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Why not shop with a purpose and support a ministry that's boldly sharing God's truth? Visit www.lastchristian.net today and click the links that make a difference.